guests. It is the Winter Olympics from Milan, Cortina, Italy.
USA! USA! USA!
What a day for hockey.
Can you guys cue up Freebird, too? Is that possible? Can we play Freebird?
Mario hooked you up. He's going to have that later on in a montage. Hockey delivers on the world stage once again. We had four quarterfinal matchups today in Milan, and three of them were decided beyond regulation.
Overtime, and I feel like it was the early game that was the stinker. So it's like all three games that people were awake for in the United States, that were interested in, they all delivered, all going to overtime. Canada, dramatic comeback. Finland, dramatic comeback in the third and winning it overtime. It was, if you are a hockey fan, this was the day for you.
This is the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. That is Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We are brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive with Chief Drives. Drives a Chevy. And the red, white, and blue come through in the late game. We're going to be joined by Eddie Olczyk at 1:15 a.m. Milan time.
Because he's the best.
And we saw the U.S. beat Sweden 2-1 in OT. Quinn Hughes gets the overtime winner. Dylan Larkin had the first goal of the game. Seemingly it was 1-0 from the second period on until 91 seconds to go. Zibanejad gets the equalizer on a beautiful pass and
Lucas Raymond.
From Lucas Raymond. And Connor Hellebuck, give him credit. He responded down the stretch. They didn't let that deter them going into the overtime.
Did they have a shot on goal in OT? I'm not sure that they did.
They did not. Six love were the shots on goal in overtime. And look, it's not perfect, but give me 3-on-3 over a shootout any day of the week.
Yes, but I do hate it. An elimination game, call me old school. I want that to be 5-on-5 and have it go forever. If you want to do the 3-on-3 in the shootout in the round robin, I'm great with that. For an elimination game, I don't like that it's decided by 3-on-3.
So I'm with you, in theory on that. The problem is this. Let's say that Canada game against Czechia goes to overtime, and it's a 3 or 4 overtimer. That pushes this USA game. We're in the middle of the USA game right now.
So be
We're not getting Eddie Olczyk. At 1:15 in the morning.
I can't wait to talk to Eddie. But having said that, I would be fine with them playing that game with a 1 a.m. local puck drop. You just got to decide it the right way. Some things can't be 3-on-3. Some things can't be a gimmick. An elimination game in the Olympics, best on best, has to be real hockey.
Yeah, in theory it does. Does it begin this round? Because we would have had, think of the ripple effect would have had with
all day
two prior to the U.S. game being going beyond regulation.
Yeah, and I don't know what the ticket situation is, if they clear out the arena or if you have a day pass. Like, there's all sorts of complications. Like
they barely got the rink up.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
It's not even the right side. It'll work. What's the prego?
Like, those weren't suggestions, those dimensions? No. Like, we actually need 200 by 85.
Ish. We just, whatever looks good.
Yeah.
It's a piece of work. So what was your biggest takeaway? Let's start with the U.S. 2-1 victory over Sweden. What was your takeaways from that victory?
I am a little bit more confident. I was very nervous heading into that game because throughout the group stage, it looked like the United States was playing with their food a little bit. Like, they hadn't really stepped on the gas. They weren't challenged by any. I think it was Denmark, Latvia, and who was the last one? Germany.
Germany. Yeah.
So three teams that have been eliminated that aren't real world powers in hockey. And they were a little tighter than I would have liked. I would have liked pure domination, 10-1.
They were sort of ramping up.
It did feel like that,
We hit the ground running in the Four Nations because you had to.
That's true.
We saw a little bit against Germany, a little more bite to the game on Sunday. But I'm with you. I did not have a ton of confidence. I actually thought it was a huge wake-up for them to see Canada nearly get beat
today.
A couple hours before them, while they're in their meetings and they're having their pregame meal, and they're like, oh, look what's going on here.
Yep.
That would have registered with me to not. And Sweden is a fantastic team.
A full team of NHL guys. Their defense is
for them to not have Victor Hedman. That was huge.
Yeah, that was and
he just sat on the, like I still don't know what was going on there.
I saw somewhere that he was hurt in warm up, but stayed on the bench because he wanted to be in it with the guys.
Yeah.
But you know, not being able to go, he's probably still their best defenseman, I would say. Certainly all around defenseman, because Forsling does all the defensive stuff. Dahlin is a stud offensively, but having a guy that can just shut you down and run your power play, that was a huge loss for them. But, you know, another takeaway from this on the positive side for the United States, I think Dylan Larkin might be the most underrated player in the league, because he does all the thing. He will do whatever the USA asks him to do. This is the second tournament in a row where I feel like he has shined. The goal aside, the face-off dot, the defensive responsibility, the speed, the skating, like getting to the top of the crease to get the stick on that puck to, you know, for the redirect goal. Like he's doing all, like, you know, the soccer term, the hard yards. Like he's doing all the hard stuff, and he's really elevated, I think, his reputation in the league, because he's been on such bad teams for so long, and now the wings are rolling, and it is the Dylan Larkin show.
Well, that's my takeaway from this one. It's players that have not one on the big stage.
Yeah.
I mean, Dylan Larkin went to the playoffs in one of his first couple of years in Detroit, and then they haven't been back since.
Correct, yep.
You look at the Hughes brothers. They haven't experienced Cup playoff action.
I think Quinn got to the second round, game seven once.
Jack got
to the second round. They beat the Patrick Kane Rangers, and then they got smoked the next round, I think, by Carolina. So, yeah, you're right.
Connor Hellebuck, not proven on the big stage.
Not even that. But a guy who has collapsed in the playoffs, you know, after winning MVPs and Vezinas, he gets to the playoffs and it's just like, what happened to regular season Hellebuck? So he was sensational today too. He's just like a steady Eddie back there. He's so big. He plays the angles so well. Like it's like you expect him to make the saves, and then when he doesn't, you're like, well, what's going on here? But he was on it today. And that is on paper, maybe the one spot where the United States has a clear advantage over Canada. Like he's going to have the game of his life to win that potential gold medal game. Not getting ahead of ourselves. Slovakia, they look pretty dangerous too.
They do. Let's start on the Canada game, how they survived the overtime thriller against Czechia. Mitch Marner gets the game winner.
Your boy.
An absolutely beautiful goal.
Yeah, backhand.
I mean, I felt good for him. I don't know this guy personally. Mm-hmm. I only know what I have seen, what I have read, what I have witnessed.
Yep.
And I think the guy was done dirty by Leafs Nation.
Yeah.
And
for a kid who grew up there, grew up a Leaf, you know, he definitely gets the stick probably too much from Canadian fans.
That was as beautiful a goal as you're ever going to see. Yep. Between three defenders.
Yeah, and I think if you were going to go through the list of people you expect to score from Canada in that spot, he's kind of far down it, because the way Celebrini's been in this tournament, which is another thing we should talk about, but McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, like they just have so many guys. And then it was Mitchie Marner who came through when they needed it most.
How about Nick Suzuki wouldn't have been on your bingo card either.
He
comes through with an excellent tip-in to get the equalizer with, what was it, about 3 minutes to
something
go in
like
the contest.
That. Yeah. That's another name where I said Dylan Larkin might be most underrated. Nick Suzuki might be for real, because he plays in a huge market, hockey mad. But
the biggest, as far as the most scrutiny.
Yes.
It's rough because Montreal is the mecca.
Yeah.
But Toronto's evil. Toronto has the spicy tabloid feel to
it. I wonder how much of that is the French aspect. They maybe just don't even see as much on Twitter of the French,
French
criticism up in Montreal.
Yeah. Like, I don't know French, so I can't read all the negative comments about me.
So, but he's a sensational two-way player as a center as well. And that, you know, his ability to play a regular shift on this team, Nick Suzuki, kind of allowed Canada to load up in a way, you know, putting McKinnon on McDavid's wing with Celebrini. Like, those are three centers that are all playing together because they trust Suzuki to do a third or fourth line role, and then you can have Crosby play with Marner and Stone, and it's just like all of a sudden you have some real balance throughout the whole lineup.
What have you thought of the Tkachuks so far? They've been noticeable in the earlier games. This one was a real... You had to be patient against Sweden. They don't give you much.
And they're de-skate so well. Yep. It was, you know, I was thinking, hoping that this would be a grinded out below the goal line kind of game. And those that line, because Jack Eichel's a big, nasty boy too, that they would kind of dominate. But they just couldn't really establish much. And I think it's because all their D are they move so well. It's almost like, remember Nashville in 17?
With Josi.
Josi and Ryan Ellis and Subban. And they just, it was impossible to forecheck him. Sweden has a little bit of that, where all their D are so skilled and so, you know, they're such great skaters that it's tough to get on them. But I think overall, I think that line has been kind of what you would want. Like, they do finish the checks. They have been productive early in the earlier prelim round. We'll need more from them going forward.
So Canada's now going to face Finland in the semifinals. The U.S. will face Slovakia. How do you feel about the red, white, and blue against Slovakia on Friday?
Yeah, I think Slovakia is dangerous, but this is I would assume that this would be USA minus 1.5 or 2.5. Like, they're going to be a prohibitive favorite. But they have some star power, and they seem like they've had some magic about them recently in these international tournaments at the junior level, at the Olympics without NHL players. Like, they've really showed up pretty well.
Slavkovsky
is turning into a superstar before our eyes.
I mean,
yeah. So, that was a year, it's like, we got the number one pick, but it's kind of a down year.
Yeah, right.
Like the whole Shane Wright debate, and Shane Wright, like, stared down the Montreal desk when they didn't take him. Looks like Montreal might have known what they were doing with that pick, because he's a star, and he's supposedly, like, the most popular, most famous athlete in the country now, Slavkovsky in Slovakia. So... And well-earned, because he's been great in this tournament, and he's had a really good year for the Canadians.
And your thoughts on Canada-Finland? Do you think this was the wake-up call on this day against Czechia, and that they're not going to let things get that tight on Friday?
I think it's hard to keep Canada down. And this was maybe, I don't even know if they weren't ready to go or what, but I don't think Finland's got the pace and the firepower to keep up with Team Canada, you know, and like Barkov not there. And it's so I do think that I think Canada, it's like a 4-1, 5-1 game.
And the Macklin Celebrini situation, it's been a seamless transition for him to the NHL, and it was a seamless transition to the Olympic stage.
Yeah, he's going to be the best player in the league for a long time.
Yes.
And that's really where it is now. Like, he's just so good at everything. You put him on the wing, it doesn't matter. He's scoring at this level where it is truly the best of the best. Like, you could make an argument that Canada has the 5 best players in this tournament, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
So he's at 19 years old. He's already, I think he probably, if the Sharks do make the wild card, he's the MVP of the league. He has no one really with him. I think he's got 70-something points. Next closest on the Sharks is in the 30s.
Right.
So it's just like he is like a one-man show out there. And you get the impression that he makes teammates better too, that guys like playing with him, the intelligence, the two-way. He's sensational.
How about putting Celebrini, McDavid, and McKinnon together like they have? I mean, they had them broken up a little bit. They had Wilson there as well. But, I mean.
But that's been the line.
Number one overall picks from the last 20-plus years.
It's remarkable. And I do think that McKinnon and McDavid are the two best players in the league, and Celebrini's right there with them. And it doesn't look like he doesn't belong, doesn't look like the stage is too big. He's a phenomenal. He's a perfect hockey player.
All right, we're going to take a break because we have the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, Blackhawk legend, NBC Sports lead hockey analyst, Eddie Olczyk. He's going to join us live from Milan. His breakdown of the U.S. team victory over Sweden is next. This is The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM.
At 1000.
On the FM.
At 100.3 HD2.
On your phone.
Through the ESPN Chicago app.
And that was a juicy rebound. Good opportunity. Let's see if maybe these rebounds become storage. Score! Skater on for Sweden. There's Raymond. Slides it across. Score! Sweden ties it with 1:31 remaining. Now Quinn Hughes. We played 3.5 minutes in overtime. Quinn Hughes shoots. He scores! He scores! Quinn Hughes in overtime wins it! And the United States will move on and face Slovakia in the semis.
This one here, he walks to the middle. There was a subtle little flyby by Austin Matthews. That allowed Hughes to get the puck to his forehand. And Bush just said it this whole tournament. For goaltenders, it is so difficult. When players move one way and they shoot back the other way, that's exactly what Quinn Hughes did. He skated to his left, shot it back to the right, and it went post and in. And Team USA is in the semifinals.
Hockey delivers on the world stage, and so does Eddie Olczyk. What a call. With Kenny Albert, Brian Boucher, Catherine Tappan, and the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, the Blackhawks legend, and the best color analyst in professional sports. He's Eddie Olczyk, and he joins us now at 1:20 in the morning, Milan time. Good morning, Mr. Olczyk.
Buongiorno, buongiorno. PB, thank you, pal. Chief, great to be with you guys, and... Man, oh, man, I need a shower after that game. That was, you know, I don't even know where to start. But I guess, you know, being an alum of our country and when it comes to the sporting world and playing the Olympics, you know, a million years ago back in 1984 as a 17-year-old and playing in a lot of world championships and Canada Cups and then being a part of the Olympic coverage on NBC as I have and to get that chance to sell our game. You know, we all think the game of hockey is the greatest game there is, and to see it, and as you brought me on, PB, I mean, it did not disappoint. The theatrics of where both teams were coming into this game, two countries that a lot of people felt, and I know where the money was when it came to the wagering aspect of it, is that A lot of people felt that it'd be Canada, Sweden, and the U.S. meddling. And here you have two teams battling in the final eight just to get out of the eight to get to the final four. And it just was an incredible game and the privilege to be able to call it and hopefully sell the game and sell it to some young aspiring hockey players like I was. When I was 12 years old watching a Miracle on Ice in 1980 in Lake Placid, and I thought about, well, what would it be like to play in the Olympics for Team USA when I'm old, when I'm 20, or I'm 24. Yeah. I got the opportunity to do it 4 years later when I was 17 and get very nervous, very excited being a part of the Olympics on the broadcast side, and hopefully everybody enjoyed the I like to think everybody enjoyed the outcome, but hopefully you enjoyed the broadcast as well, if I can steal a line from my old great partner, the Hall of Famer, the great Pat Foley. But it was a lot of fun to be a part of, and I need a shower, and then
and
I think
smoke.
I need a bowl of pasta bolognese here to get to sleep tonight, because that was a hell of a buck of a game, as I said, signing off tonight.
Is it hard to be unbiased when you're calling the United States? Do you catch yourself fist pumping when
like 91 seconds to go? Are you kind of like, or do you try to stay in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think stay in the moment. I do know, and I don't. If you watch the Olympics, NBC has these broadcaster cams that get shots. I know they had some great ones. In the summertime, I believe it was Michael Phelps was, you know, obviously doing the swimming, and they're calling the, they're calling the race, and you could see him in the background, and he's pumping his fist, and he's getting all excited, and then, you know, he'd give a comment, and you know, just so I blacked out after I blacked out after Quinn Hughes scored, and I almost punched, not that I would punch anybody, but I almost punched Kenny Albert because I think I was so jacked. And if I could, I probably would have, you know, I might have dropped maybe an F&A over the air if I could have. But it's hard not to get emotional and invested in the red, white, and blue because I wore the colors. I want them to win. I want to see Team USA win. But during the game, if the red, white, and blue are black and blue, you got to call it. So I think, Chief, there is a fine line. There is the energy, obviously, when the Americans do well. But, if there was video on that, you'd probably see an old Blackhawk, Bernie Nichols. He had the pumpernickel when he would score. I think I borrowed that from Bernie Nichols. I had a little pump in my arm and then had to get back to, dissecting the game and getting ready for the semifinals.
Eddie Olczyk joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. U.S. advances to take on Slovakia Friday in the semifinals. Canada will take on Finland. We opened the show with our takeaways from the U.S. victory. To me, it was, some players that have been unproven, not basically because of themselves, it's because their teams haven't gotten very far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That meaning Dylan Larkin. You look at Suzuki and even Connor Hellebuck. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And for this team to keep their composure together after giving up the equalizer with 91 seconds to go, I thought that was pretty impressive.
It was. I mean, you mentioned Nick Suzuki of Team Canada. He got the game tire to give themselves a chance to get the overtime, and then Mitch Marner wins it in overtime on a beautiful backhander. For Team USA, I mean, Dylan Larkin, if you go back to last year in the Four Nations, we mentioned tonight, all these games start running, and I'm wondering, did I say this last year? And Dylan Larkin went into that Four Nations as a role player last year, the appetizer for the Olympics. And by the end of the tournament, he was as important as anybody on that roster, especially the forwards, because he played absolutely lights out. This year in the Olympics, slow to start, unbelievable in the faceoff dot, which is huge. And then he gets the huge goal to get Team USA on the board. And, the rest is history, at least till Friday. And then Connor Hellebuck, the guy's an MVP. He wins he wins the Vezina for the best goalie in the league. He wins the MVP in the same year. Yeah, Winnipeg hasn't been able to take the next step when it comes to challenging for the greatest trophy in the world. But the guy has proven himself that he can play on the big stage. He played well in the Four Nations last year, and let's call it what it is. Couple of guys had great chances to end it in overtime. Matthews had two, Brady Tkachuk had one, and they just weren't able to do it, and Connor McDavid wins it, and here we go. So I agree with you, PB, 100%. All three of those guys, and more zeroing in on the American guys, and Larkin and Hellebuck, unproven, and Larkin only getting to the playoffs once in his career, and he's had himself a hell of a year in Detroit, and he got the big goal to get him on the board today. So opportunity, what do you do with it? And you could say, to this point, on the biggest stage as far as Olympics, is both Hellebuck and Larkin have stepped up in a big way and deserve to get the accolades that they're getting for Team USA being two wins away from a gold medal.
Another guy who kind of fits that mold of hasn't had the highest of team success would be Austin Matthews, and he's wearing the C again for Team USA. What have you made of his game? It felt like when you look online during the Germany game early, people were very critical of him, and you kind of were like, oh, Matthews playing great, he's playing great, and then it was like, bang, he stepped up. So what have you made of his performance overall and his role on Team USA?
I look at the complete game, Chief. I understand the microscope, obviously, that he's under in Toronto. Yeah. And a long time ago, before, the media, the social world, I lived it up there as an American-born player. So I understand to a certain extent. I just felt that as the tournament went on, he was playing the right way. He was checking well. The puck took a bounce a couple of times where he was in a good spot. And I just felt like in the Germany game, he took his game to another level. And it's hard to score. I know what people want and expect, and he's the captain. Okay, but he can still help the team if he doesn't score. Now, if he scores, it's obviously going to be way better for Team USA, or you want to go personally when he goes back to Toronto. But I just kind of felt when I did make, and I know when I made the comment, I was just like, look at the guy's getting there, and he's going to the blue paint, and he's going to get rewarded. And in two of his three goals, he's standing right in the blue paint, mm-hmm. and he knows, look at, I might not be able to dance through people and score from 20, 25 feet out. If I want to score, I got to pay a price. And the guy goes there, and I just thought that line is so important for Team USA with Jake Gensel and Matt Boldy, and they found their game against a good German team, and here he was, and I thought he had a good game tonight. But you could sit there and say, well, geez, I really didn't notice this guy or that guy, or whatever. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He didn't get scored on, and Team USA ended up finding a way to win. But Austin Matthews, I mean, look, I think any team in the National Hockey League or any general manager, if you had a chance to put Austin Matthews into your lineup, you're a better team, and that's all that really anybody should really worry about. Do you want more from players? Yeah, we always want more from players. But Austin Matthews is a hell of a player, and I think he would fit nicely on every single team in the National Hockey League.
And you know, when you're calling the game on Sunday, you're talking about him being a matchup line against Draisaitl. And he did his job there. Then you looked at today's game, and you're playing a really patient game against a Swedish team that has elite defensemen without Victor Hedman. I was impressed how the U.S. maneuvered their way, kind of like they finally got a little edge to their game Sunday. But today they kind of put it together, and things are ramping up, and we're beginning to build towards a crescendo Friday and hopefully Sunday.
Yeah, I think that they were selective tonight, this afternoon back home. We touched on it because of the skill level of the D, and you look at like Sweden's D, and I know Hedman unfortunately got banged up and he didn't play a shift tonight, but you look at the depth of Sweden, Rasmus Andersson, he wasn't even dressed. Adam Larsson out in Seattle is an outstanding defensive defenseman. He can't even get a sniff into the Swedish national team. So the depth that they had, and the point that hopefully it came across was, U.S. feels like they can be more physical than the Swedes, but if you start running out of position and running around, what's going to happen if you do that against really good players? Well, they're going to make you look silly, and you're going to be out of position. So I thought the selectiveness of Team USA, PB and Chief, was pick our spots, know the areas of the ice that we can be aggressive and we can go ahead and blitz and try to be that physical. But you know what? It's okay to just play a volley game every once in a while. Like, I didn't get into this tonight, but I might, if it presents itself moving forward, my experience, and then now especially as a broadcaster, but more as a player, is I always felt that when you were playing in international games, the European teams seemed much more comfortable and at ease when the games were 0-0. Like, they were okay with being in a 0-0 game. Where I think for us, and I only can speak for myself, an American national team, is like it gets a little tight, even though it's halfway through the game. Like, you play, and I think just psychologically is like they're okay if it's 0-0 for the next 2 weeks. Like, they play well in that situation. And I think that's the way the Swedes wanted to play it. And I think that Team USA found a way to get the lead and then kind of sat back a little bit, and then Hellebuck made a couple of really important saves when there was no score, but then when the Sweden started pushing and pressing, the Americans kind of were able to fight them off until the very end in the last 91 seconds. So I just think that in totality, it was a heck of a team effort, and the guy in goal, when Team USA needed a save, they got it. And then when they took advantage of opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net, and their power play probably deserved a little better, because I think they moved it around nicely and they just weren't able to beat Jacob Markstrom, who I thought played a pretty good game and goal for Team Sweden.
Yeah, looking ahead to Friday now, Slovakia put up 6 goals today. Slafkovsky's been incredible. What do you make of that matchup? Because it feels like it felt like a semifinal type of game. And now it's like, do you think there's any room for like a subconscious little gaffe for USA? Like, ooh, you take your foot off the gas, we beat Sweden, but now you got a dangerous Slovakia team coming in.
Yeah, I don't think the latter, just from the being around this team and having a chance and visit with the guys, Chief, and talking to head coach Mike Sullivan, I think that they really feel like they were, you know, they were born and meant to be in this moment, and they are going to, you know, to be able to weather the storm and figure it out. Now, the one thing I will say about Slovakia, in game one of the tournament, we did the first game of the men's side. It was Finland and Slovakia. Like, if you look how it all played out, Slovakia upsetting Finland in the first game of the tournament. They beat them 4-1. Like, Finland was another team that people thought would medal, you know, and be, at least be that kind of that fourth team in behind the big three in Sweden, Canada, and in the U.S.
Yep.
But Slovakia can, I want to say this the right way. It feels like and looks like the game against the Americans is that Slovakia could go in there and they're playing with house money. Or the analogy would be for me is if I'm at the racetrack and I'm up early, I'm pressing. Like, I'm pressing the rest of the way, and I'm trying to take it all home with me, right? I want a Brinks truck to be able to go home with. So I think the way that Slovakia plays, I don't think that they're going to sit back as much as – and I don't know if the Swedes sat back, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that they were cautious. I think they checked very well. I don't think Slovakia can check as well as the Swedes. So for the Americans, I think it's play below the top of the circles, force Slovakia to try to defend. They don't have as many NHL players on their roster. I think there's maybe 11 or 12 that have played, and I think maybe 7 currently. Don't quote me, but it's somewhere in that number. And that doesn't mean anything in a one-game showdown where, as we know, that hockey puck has an ability to bounce some crazy ways. But I just think that Slovakia is going to play for a medal. And I think that they have the ability to play really loose. And sometimes that could be a dangerous team, right? I don't care what sport it is. So that's something to keep an eye on Friday. But if Team USA can play the way that they've played the last two games against Germany and against the Swedes, they should be playing Sunday for a gold medal.
Canada will take on Finland. Finland got an overtime goal from Lekkonen. It was a Mitch Marner game winner on an absolute beauty in overtime. They talk about a much maligned former Toronto Maple Leaf. So that was good to see if you are into the Team Canada thing. And actually, if you're just an NHL fan in general, Is the challenge for the U.S. and the Canadian teams to not look ahead to possibly meeting on Sunday and realize that, okay, they got a bit of a scare, they needed extra time to win, and they got to focus on the task at hand on Friday?
Yeah. I think it's probably a good reminder of, in a one-game showdown, which unless you get to a game 7 or, you know, a big game in a regular season, your season isn't on the line. But, you know, here now you're playing, you know, back-to-back games where you have one rough game, it's over. Like, there's no chance to come back. You know, you're down 2-0, big deal in a best of 7. So I think that's probably more the mindset. And, yeah, both teams got a scare, but both teams found a way to get it done. And, I mean, I think it's just human nature. You know, they haven't I think it's human nature. You just think about, you know, what it could be, the dream matchup that everybody's been talking about, at least in Canada, in the country of Canada and in the U.S. since the Four Nations last year. So I think both teams are just, they're too well coached. I think they have just too much experience. But you got to play because, as I said earlier, I can't emphasize this enough. The games are so close. The skill level of some of these players is off the chart. And if you get a guy in goal, Mm-hmm. And I would imagine for Slovakia, and I'm more concerned about the U.S. team right now, Samuel Halavai, who is a draft pick in Minnesota, like he's pretty good. And we've seen goaltenders at all levels, and we saw it in a couple of the runs with the Hawks winning those cups where all of a sudden Antti Niemi just gets on a roll, and it doesn't matter how many pucks are on the ice, nobody's going to score on them. So that's how hockey is a guy can really be the great equalizer, so to speak. But I think that both teams, got a scare, but I think that they know how good it is. And if they both teams feel, hey, look, if we play our game and we can do that. Now, I don't know if people have heard the big news that obviously Sidney Crosby got banged up, pretty bad today in that game against Canada, or I'm sorry, in their win in overtime today. So who knows what the status of him moving forward, but certainly did not look good. And obviously it's sad to see, but next man up mentality, and, we'll see, because there are a lot of guys here banged up, as you guys both know. And the one last thing I'll say on that is these guys aren't holding press conferences and sending out social media things, letting people know that they're banged up, and they come here. If a guy's 60%, he's giving it everything you got. You got, honestly, and I could say this, I'm not going to give names, but there are guys that have a tough time getting from the bus to the locker room. And they just want to be here and represent their country and play in the Olympic Games. And they're not looking for any promotion or accolades or not. They're just going out and playing. And if they're giving it all, they're giving it their all. And I think that should be commended to be able to do this. And you got the best athletes in the world here when it comes to the game of hockey. And it's been an honor to be here on the television side, and they have not disappointed. And right now, as far as us working the games, we got four games to go. We got the two semis, we get the bronze medal game, and then obviously we get the big one on Sunday in the gold medal game. And we'll see if the old red, white, and blue can get there, and should be a lot of fun this weekend.
Well, we'll be watching for sure on NBC. The U.S. women take on Canada once again for gold tomorrow.
Let's go, Kendall.
A lot of Chicago ties in that game, Abby, with Kendall,
right?
Coyne.
Yeah, we got a lot of ties there. So good luck to the ladies tomorrow night or later today here in Milan. So,
what number of Olympics is this for you, Edzo, that you've covered as a broadcaster?
Say that again?
How many Olympics have you covered now as a broadcaster?
Let's see. I did 02, I did 10, I did 14, I did 22. I could not do 18 because I was in the middle of my battle back then, and then now 26. So what is that, five?
Five.
I think that sounds like five. But, yeah, five Olympics and
84.
Four of those on television for NBC.
How has this experience been for you in Milan?
It's been a grind, but I'd never been, and it's absolutely beautiful here. I think, unfortunately, when I have to put my bag on the scale, hopefully I don't have to get on there too, because I think I'm going to have to pay a few extra bucks there to get back home. But
they could get a second seat.
It's a beautiful place, and I'm hoping to get the lovely and talented Diana Olchek here at some point, and we can come back and really enjoy it. But the games have been great. The venue's been beautiful. The transportation's been great. NBC's taking care of us. But it's been a lot of fun. And I'll be honest with you, all the snow they've had up in Cortina, because that's about four and a half hours away from Milan, I'll be honest with you, and I know it's been a heat wave at home, and I'm happy for everybody at home, it's probably been anywhere in between like 42 and 55 single day.
So beautiful spring day.
We've been pretty lucky here to be able to get to and from without ruining the makeup, PB, or ruining the hair, if you know what I mean.
Well, look, we're lucky that you pick up the phone and join us after a long, long day and an early morning call here to join us on the Hockey Show. Edzo, thank you for doing this, and we will be watching on Friday and, of course, on Sunday.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Edzo.
One and only Eddie Olchek joining us on the Hockey Show. Back with more after this.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN1000, The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Trevenka in his fifth Olympics, the captain of this Czech team is McDavid. Picks Pastrnak's pocket. Celebrini, he's scored again. The 19-year-old Macklin Celebrini has his fifth goal of the Olympics. His shot blocked by Hurdle. Trying to transition ahead. It's Marty Natchez. Natchez in. Dropped it. Score! Andre Palat has given Czechia a 3-2 lead. Suzuki towards Jarvis. Out to the blue line. Taves a shot. They score! With only 3 minutes and 27 seconds remaining, Nick Suzuki. The deflection to tie it for Canada. Next goal wins winner on to the semifinals. Knifing through, they score! Mitch Marner delivers Canada into the semis.
Brian Burke with the call on NBC. Their Olympic coverage as Canada wins 4-3 over Czechia in overtime. Back on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, we are brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, Chevy Drive Chicago, with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Thanks to Eddie Olczyk for joining us and jumping on the phone at 1:15 in the morning in Milan after a long day. We came in with some of the highlights from the Canadian game, and Macklin Celebrini, you said it earlier in the show, he's going to be in that best player of the league category in the not-too-distant future, it seems.
I do think that he will garner MVP votes this year, if not win it outright, if the Sharks make the playoffs. And he's the heir apparent. Like, he really is. So McDavid's, what, 28 now?
Yep, 29.
McKinnon's probably, what, 30? So it will be Celebrini's league before you know it. You know, 3-4 years, he is going to be the best player in the league. And he doesn't look out of place here. He's just good at everything. He has no weaknesses to his game. He's a joy to watch. He's perfect.
The Tkachuks have been doing Tkachuk-like things.
Yeah.
Matthew basically played a handful of games before this tournament began. Mm-hmm. He's looked great. I think Jack Eichel has been
star.
A force to be reckoned with.
200-foot player, you know, which I don't know if that was always a thing when he was in Buffalo. I can't remember if he was known for that or not. But when he got to Vegas, he really turned into a winning hockey player. And, you know, the whole scandal, I guess you can call it, around his neck surgery, which got him out of Buffalo, really changed everything. Like, he's quietly become a top 10 player in the league because easily, I think, United States' number one best center. I would take him over Austin Matthews if it were up to me. So, yeah, that line, you got three big boys. They can wear you down low. They get to the net. They're tough to play against. So, yeah, United States, when you think back to, like, the 14 team, or the 10 team, those two teams, we just didn't have centers. It was kind of like Ryan Kessler and Pavelski, who was, like, a wing and a center. But we didn't have, like, star centers the way that Canada had. And now we do. Like, Eichel and Matthews, they're – not as good as McDavid, McKinnon, okay? But they're not that far off. Like, they deserve to be in that conversation. So we'll see how it goes on Friday and the rest of the tournament. But it feels like this is the most talented team we've ever had.
The one puzzling lineup situation I see on the U.S. side still is the JT Miller situation.
Yeah.
I just don't think he can keep up. I don't know why. Kyle Connor's not in there.
Even Clayton Keller at this point, you know, he got a little bit of time tonight. But, yeah, JT Miller, you know, you want a guy with bite and, you know, competitiveness and some of that two-way stuff. But he, you're right. Like, he looks like a step off of it.
I think people were too locked into Four Nations thinking that physicality is going to be exactly what we see. This is a longer tournament. They're playing in back-to-back nights, some of these.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it is the NHL surface, so it is a tight surface.
Yeah, and tighter.
Tighter.
Yes, yes. So maybe that was part of the equation. I mean, who would you take off and put him on? Because it's not like he and Robertson are a one-for-one
no,
swap.
That's, yeah. I struggle. I think they have enough grit that I would have.
You get enough out of your top six.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little extra. Yeah, like
I mean, Cole Caulfield would have probably been one of my last thoughts.
He would have been a nice guy to throw out there 3-on-3. Because he always seems like from Montreal, he's always
any part of you wanted to see 88 out there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and then you think, well, it's like, oh, my God, are we going to a shootout? It would have been nice to have 88 for the shootout. But clearly, like, I don't know. It's like he didn't have the type of year that would be undeniable for him to get on the team.
His injury, he had an upper body injury. I think it was the neck situation. That took him out of the lineup for 2 or 3 weeks, and it killed because it was right in that decision time. It was sort of it mimicked Nazar and the timing of Bedard's injuries.
And it's just like you could have just slapped the C on him, and like that would have been it. And so I wish that he was on there, and I think that he would have been a valuable piece. But the team is so loaded now; it's not how it used to be. Like this is the best or the second best team in the world. So it's a hard team to make. It would have been great to have him, but it's just, I understand why he was left off.
Predictions for the semifinal matchups on Friday and hopefully a gold medal showdown that we see on Sunday morning. That is next. It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, Barstool Chief Pat Boyle with you. Thanks to our producer, Mario Heron, who did a fantastic job of getting all the U.S. Olympic highlights and Team Canada highlights together on a busy day in Milan. Eddie Olczyk, who joined us. From the host city. Do you look at Friday's semifinal matchups as a fait accompli? Canada, Finland, USA, Slovakia. It'll be Canada and USA that advance to Sunday's gold medal game?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good bet. So I looked it up. Both teams are 2.5 goal favorites for whatever that's worth. I'm sure they both work today as well. I think that these were always the two best teams in the tournament. You know, you look at Slovakia, like Edzo said, they got 6 current NHL players. So at some point, it's just like the talent has the Jimmys and the Joes have to win out. So I think United States takes care of business. And I think Canada's going to roll Finland. Like Finland will probably try to pack it in, play a very defensive game. But that might just be playing into Canada's hands, too.
I'd love to see this USA-Canada thing come to fruition on Sunday. Early morning game. I think it's like 8 a.m.-ish Chicago
Perfect.
Time.
Perfect for me.
Which has been, like, they've been playing at 9:10 Milan time most of their games. So I assume Friday's game will be a little bit earlier. Their body clock should be a little more adjusted.
I think Friday's at 2:10 as well.
Is it
Central
really?
Central time, yeah.
Wow, that's almost every game is they played at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
They're going to play this one
Sunday afternoon.
7 hours.
Get it in before
earlier.
Those closing ceremonies.
So we'll see that. We'll pick more into Blackhawks conversation next week. They've got 6 practices between starting today and next Wednesday before they resume their schedule
mini-training
in Nashville.
Camp.
We won't have Wyatt Kaiser out of the Olympic break. They called up Kevin Korchinski and Sam Renzel. So we'll see that. We've got the trade deadline on March 6th or 7th.
Yep.
And there'll certainly be some players involved that will be of interest that are on expiring contracts from the Blackhawks perspective. That is going to do it for us. Chief, good to be back with you. And
great day to be an American.
Let's hope the girls bring home gold tomorrow. 7th time in the last
eight
Olympiads that the U.S. and Canada have met for the gold medal. And I think the U.S. has won just twice.
Yeah. So I think this is our year. I think it's just our year across the board. America's back.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
America. That is going to do it for The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. Go Team USA, and we will see you next Wednesday.